This is chapter number 7 and verse number 180 and 181, inshallah. I would recite them and we will do the commentary on them. And we have another few weeks to finish this chapter, which has 206 verses, total of 206 verses. It would take us another, maybe several weeks. We will conclude this chapter after the month of Ramadan, inshallah. After the month of Ramadan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina wa Habibi Qulubina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون وممن خلقنا أمة يهدون بالحق وبه يعدلون والذين كذبوا بآياتنا سنستدرجهم من حيث لا يعلمون وأملي لهم إن كيدي متين صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها. And the most beautiful names belong to God. So call Him, call upon your Lord by these names. فَادْعُوهُ بِهَمْ. What are the beautiful names? We hear about them frequently. Al-Asma'ul Husna, and you can see some of them has been inscribed here. This one, this column here, the head of this column, the top. That one. We have six of them, and each one carries about maybe 10. Yeah?
Eight.
So 8 times 6?
48.
48. These almost are half of them. The 99 names of Allah, we've been told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are about 99 names. Al-Asma'ul Husna, the beautiful names, or the names of kindness and goodness and wholesomeness. The 99 attributes of God. What does that mean? Does it mean He has 99 attributes, period? No more? Number one, God has unlimited attributes. Boundless, limitless, infinite. They have no end. He's full of attributes. He's full of attributes. Because God We cannot put a frame for God or boundaries or limits. We cannot confine him in a space or in a description, though this description is very long. Very long. Still, it is insufficient to describe something which is limitless. You may describe something that has limited qualities. You can describe a person. Even if you want to exaggerate in describing the person that you love, you can put, for instance, 10 qualities for him, 20. He is the most beautiful, the most handsome, the most generous, the most intelligent, the most stupid, the most this, the most that. You know, 10, 20, 30. But after 30, you're going to stop. You have to come to an end, conclusion. Because that person is a human being. And a human being is limited in his potentials, in his powers, in his qualities, is limited. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's unlimited. So you cannot put him and describe him in few words. Even if these are 99 attributes or names, still they are insufficient to describe him. Actually, furthermore, what is the meaning of Allahu Akbar? You all say Allahu Akbar. All of you. What does it mean? You say it several times a day when you begin your prayers. You commence your prayers by saying Allahu Akbar.
God is the greatest.
That is the common meaning. The common meaning among the people is God the greatest. But this is wrong. This is not the exact meaning of Allahu Akbar. One day, our sixth Imam, Imam al-Sadiq, asked a person, what is the meaning of Allahu Akbar? So the man immediately said, God is the greatest. Imam said, no, this is incorrect. He said, why? Because Imam said, when you say God is the greatest, greatest of what? Huh? You are comparing him to others. And God is incomparable. You cannot compare God to anything in this universe. To anything in this universe. So the man said to him, then what does it mean? Listen, this is the description of Ahlul Bayt. And no one can describe God other than the Prophet Muhammad and his family, Ahlul Bayt. Because they are the people of knowledge. And God says in this book, if you inquire about something that you don't know, go to the people of knowledge. Go to the experts. This is why we chose, one of the reasons we chose Ahlul Bayt over others, because they knew everything through God. God taught everything to the Prophet, and the Prophet passed this knowledge with the permission of God to his family, to those universal leaders of mankind. So Imam al-Sadiq, the sixth Imam, he said to him, the exact meaning of Allahu Akbar is that God is too great to be described. To be described. Too great. No matter what you do, to put God in words, you're going to fail. They are not going to be sufficient. You are not going to do justice to him. You are not going to. Even us, sometimes we use this metaphor that this person is such a great person, I cannot describe him. You refer to human beings. Imagine if you want to refer to God, the creator of that human being, and all human beings, and all the creatures, and the universe, and beyond. He's too great to be described. Furthermore, he's too great to be fathomed and understood by us. Our brains are limited.
cannot understand something which is unlimited. Cannot. You cannot contain something holy completely in something which is unlimited in something which has limited capacity. The brain has limited capacity. Human brain has limited capacity. Certain gigabytes. That's it. Beyond that, there are things that we really don't understand them. We understand part of God, some parts of Him. The other parts we cannot understand. And this is why Prophet Muhammad says the only two individuals on the surface of earth who understood God fully with His permission and His blessing and His help was Muhammad and Ali ibn Abi Talib. The only two people who were able to understand the identity and the nature of God. The only two. The Prophet said, this is his wording. He said, Ya Ali, O Ali, ما عرف الله إلا أنا وأنت. The only two individuals who really recognized God and they understood Him, they understood His full nature, me and you, because of Him, He wanted us to understand. Otherwise, without His help, even we could not understand. So can we contain Him in 99 attributes and we say these are His attributes? No. His attributes are unlimited. Then why do we say 99? Because 99 are the number of the attributes that we can relate to and understand. Beyond and above that, we cannot understand. So we don't get close to them. We don't get close to them. Beyond that number, we cannot understand. Our full capacity can only understand these 99 and relate to them. And they are mentioned in the Quran. These 99 attributes are embedded in the Quran, but in the Quran, if you open the Quran and read it from cover to cover, you're going to find God has more than 1,000 attributes or names or description in this book. More than 1,000. But they have chosen the most important among them. The most important are 99. And this is agreed upon. This, the concept of the 99 attributes, agreed upon between all Muslims, the Sunnis and the Shias. So, then why he says, I want you to understand these 99 attributes and I want you to call upon me with these attributes. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى Verse 180, chapter 7. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى To the Lord belongs the beautiful names. So call Him with these names. When you want to call Him, say Ya Allah. This is His main name. And use some of these attributes. Say, Ya Rahim, Ya Wadud, Ya Atuf, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Kareem. These are the attributes, 99. And if we want to spend time, each one of these requires many sessions to disclose the meaning of these attributes, to understand them. What does Ya Rahim mean? The most merciful. What does Ar-Rahman mean? The most gracious. We need a long period of time to reflect on them and absorb them and understand them. Now, why he wants us to call upon him with these names? He says, because when you call upon me with these attributes and these names, you're going to learn them, and I want you to incorporate them in your own life. For instance, Ar-Rahim comes from the most compassionate. I want you to know your Lord is the most compassionate, and therefore I want you people to be compassionate. Though there is a huge difference between his compassion and our compassion. There is no way. We share it only, we share the name. Just the name, compassion. But we don't share the true meaning because God's compassion is completely different from our own compassion. Completely different. But still he says, I want you to emulate that. Imitate my qualities. In Islam we believe that the way to reach to God, the way you reach to Him, the way you become qareeb, close to Him. Al-qurbu min Allah, nearness to God. What do we do? Some people think if you live in higher buildings, you get close to Him. If you're flying an airplane, now it's the best time to pray because you are close to Him. No. Even if you go to the depth of the earth, you may pray there. God has no direction. God has no specific direction. If He does not have a specific direction, then why do we raise our head? Why do we do this way? He's not there. He's everywhere. So why do you do this? Why do you say, oh Lord, help me? Why do you look up? This is a metaphor. Because He's high. He's high. But even if you look into this direction, He's there. You look down, He's there. See, at the time of prostration, the face is down. And we've been told that this is the best position of prayers, is when you put your forehead, this forehead, on the dust, and you say, oh Lord, help me. When you go down, out of a humility, out of a humility and submission to Him. Okay? So He's in all directions. He's in all directions. You face up, He's there. You face down. So nearness to God does not mean that you have to go up, stand on the mountain to speak to Him. No. You can go into the basement, down, deep down into the earth, deep down the ocean. Look at Jonah. Where did he pray? حرك الصندوق من قدامه. دول ضيوف. Jonah, وذنوني إذ ذهب مغاضبا. وذنوني إذ ذهب مغاضبا. Jonah, when he left the people of Nineveh in anger, he left them. Where did he end up? Where?
Huh?
In the belly of the fish. That was big fish, of course. It was a whale. And then he ended up in the bottom of the sea. And he said, Subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Glory to you. I wronged myself. I repent. وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَنْ لَنْ نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. In the bottom of the darkness. He was there. The message reached God. He had full bar. His iPhone had full bar. Communication. So the message went up. He didn't go somewhere high. He was in the bottom of the ocean. But the message reaches God. Anywhere you want to pray for Him. At any condition. Sleeping, eating, walking by yourself with a group of people in the middle of the night, in the morning, noon. He does not shut His door. The only one, Imam Zain al-Abidin, our fourth Imam, the son of Imam Hussein. Imam Zain al-Abidin is the son of Imam Hussein. He says, oh Lord, all the monarchs and the kings and the emperors, they shut their door because they want to sleep and rest. They work from 9 to 5. Of course, the Arab monarchs, they don't work, alhamdulillah. 9 to 5, the Europeans and others. Queen of Britain, probably, from 9 to 5. The Arab monarchs, they don't want to, they don't need to work. They own the country and the people. They're a property. Even the people are their property. Why should they work? Imam Zain al-Abidin is saying, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْمُلُوكُ أَبْوَابُهَا. At night, abwab means the plural of bab, which is a gate. Gates. They shut their gates. وَوَقَفَ عَلَيْهَا حُجَّابُهَا. The guards, they stand there to guard the palace of His Highness, His Majesty. The only gate that does not shut 24 hours a day, 24/7, is your وَبَابُكَ مَفْتُوحٌ لِلطَّالِبِ. Your gate is open. I can come without appointment, without calling you unnoticed. I walk in. Have you seen walk in? God would accept you. He does not say, hey, you don't have appointment. You can't come. He's always there. He does not shut His door. Neither He has a secretary or a guard to say, hey, you can't go here. This does not belong to you. This belongs to His Majesty. You can go to His kingdom. So there is a difference between our compassion and God's compassion. Still, with all that difference, God says, I want you to learn compassion. I want you to learn forgiveness, Al-Ghafoor. One of His attributes, Al-Ghafoor. Al-Ghafoor means the oft forgiving. Sometimes you forgive one time, they don't call you Ghafoor. Twice, they don't call you. Three times. But if you keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving all the times, they call you Ghafoor. And the only one that forgives. See, if you insult me, maybe first time, I'm going to forgive you. Me, not Mustafa. Me, as a human being. The second time, I don't know. The third time, I would say, no, sorry. Even a husband and wife, you know, when they fight, first time, maybe they forgive each other. Second time, I don't know about it. Third time, they go to the court. They say, that's it. My patience is over. It's only three times, huh? Three times. The patience is over. I can't tolerate. I can't stand you. It's a nightmare for me. But with God, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we keep sinning and sinning every single day, rather every single hour, and then we go to Him and say, God, I'm sorry. He says, if you are true, if you are sincere, I would accept it. He would not tell me, listen, but yesterday you said sorry, the day before yesterday, last week, last month. He would never say that. Anytime you go to Him with sincerity, He says, okay, no problem. I'll drop all the charges. I'll cleanse your record. You come up with a new one. One of the nights, this is a weekly offer. Weekly offer by God. This night, Laylatul Jumu'ah, Thursday night, 24 hours. You have from the sunset of Thursday until the sunset of Friday. 24 hours. His gates are open for every single person, even an unbeliever. He says, oh God, help me. God would listen to him. Tonight, Thursday night, when the night falls, there is a caller. Munadi, yunadi min qibal Allah ta'ala. Someone who's going to call on behalf of God. Oh people, oh servants, who has a need, let him come to God, let him ask. Who has a sick person, let him ask God. Who is broken and has no help, no family, no relatives, no friends, let him come to God. He's there waiting for you. Who wants to repent, this is the time, this is the opportunity. Go to God. But we don't listen. We are busy. We are busy with this. We are too busy to speak to God. Too busy to speak to God. Like that, someone who became a president, and his father came to see him in his office, presidential office. He said to his secretary, tell my father I'm too busy to speak to him. He's too busy to speak to his father. We do the same with God, with our spiritual father. We are too busy to speak. We have time to speak to each and every person. We have time to speak to the Satan many times a day. But when it comes to God, I'm too busy to speak to God. I have no time for him. Sorry. I'm busy with my life. I'm busy with my job. I'm busy with my family. I'm busy with my fun. So he wants us to learn some of his. He is Al-Ghafoor, the oft-forgiving. He says, learn something. You want to get close to me? I don't sell a place next to me. You want to get close to me? Learn from me. Get inspired by me. Emulate and imitate some of my qualities. Some people, they want to be religious and they claim to be religious, but when you open their hearts, there is none of the qualities of God are in their hearts. When it comes to forgiveness, he's not willing to forgive. No. He wants to take revenge. He wants to revenge. No forgiveness. When it comes to giving and generosity, he does not want to give. When it comes to overlooking people's mistakes and faults, he does not want to. You know how much God overlooks our mistakes? God says in this book, if I were to punish you for every sin you commit, none of you is going to survive on earth. No, no person is going to survive. وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ Even animals are going to perish, because some of those animals are also cruel to each other. They mistreat each other. Animals, sometimes they mistreat each other. None is going to survive on earth if God becomes strict. If the God is the God of punishment, if God uses justice with us, we're going to perish. This is why we tell him, please don't use justice with me. In our dua, we say, God, Allahumma la tu'amilni bi'adlik, walakin amilni bi'fadlik. Don't deal with me in justice. If you deal with me in justice, I'm going to perish. I want you to deal with me with favor. Do me a favor. Fadl, favor. It means overlook my mistakes. Don't look at them. If you want to look at them and count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, they reach millions and billions and zillions. And then if you want to use justice with me, I have to perish. You have to send me not only one life sentence, not neither two, neither three, how many life sentences? So we ask him to use favor, his favor with us, not his justice. Not his justice. One day the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, the Prophet said, God on the day of judgment is not going to use his justice. He said to him, how? He said, because if he uses his justice, none of you is going to survive. None of you is going to survive. They said, even you? He said, even me. Muhammad, who does not sin. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, even me, I'm not going to make it to paradise through my work, through my worshipping. I'm going to make it to paradise through God's favor on me and God's mercy with me. Even me, Prophet Muhammad. He says, my worshipping are not sufficient for me to make it to paradise. If he uses justice, they are not sufficient. I don't deserve paradise unless he bestows mercy on me so I can make it to paradise. This is the superman, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the best man on earth. So we have, if we want to get close to him, then these are the qualities. Forgiveness. Be a forgiving person. Today, 99.9 of the problems between the husbands and the wives stem from the fact of the lack of forgiveness and compassion among them. They don't forgive each other. If they really forgive each other, if they have mercy, compassion, Allah says in Surah Ar-Rum, chapter 30, Allah says the main foundation of marriage, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And God engendered among your hearts compassion and mercy. He says use these in the marriage. People think in the marriage we need furniture, we need bank account, we need a car, we need a house. Yes, you need these. But the most important foundations of marriage are compassion and mercy. Furniture would not do good if there is no mercy. A nice fancy car would not do good if there is no compassion. Would not do good. I had some marriage counseling a few minutes ago. They were complaining about each other. So the husband said to his wife, "Didn't I buy a Range Rover for you?" How much is the Range Rover, by the way?
90,000
See? Maybe he did. But if he gives her a Range Rover and there is no respect and no compassion, that would not help. If you buy her a mansion in Beverly Hills, but he disrespects her, that would not help. But maybe if we live in a small house, one bedroom apartment, but there is respect among us. There is mercy and compassion.
Preach.
We live the happiest people on earth. Believe me. I went a few years ago to one of the remote islands in the Philippines. Very remote. It was almost empty. No tourists, no foreigners. Maybe at that time we were only, me and my brother, the only two foreigners, non-Filipinos. Very remote island. Alhamdulillah, still the Americans did not discover that island. So it's not only the Americans, the people, you know. So it's still clean and nice, not polluted, you know, not intoxicated. People were Catholic, and there were small churches here and there. You know, every 5-10 homes, they had their own church. So we walked among the villagers in this beautiful island. And to be honest with you, I said to my brother, those people are the happiest people on earth. They don't have the best infrastructure. They don't have highways. They don't have the best hospitals, neither the best universities, nor the best World Trade Center, you know, or stock market, or banks, or financial institutions, or great jobs, or Hollywood, or whatever. But they have faith. They have faith. They live very happy. Always smiling. We did not find a single person, inhabitant of that island, who frowned in our face. But go to some Muslim countries, what do you find? From the moment you touch down until you finish your pilgrimage and you leave after 3 weeks. You know. What do you find? What do you see? This is Islam? This is Islam? Islam is just 5 daily prayers, blah, 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 up and down, and fasting and reading Quran, but then mistreatment of people? This is Islam? No. Prophet Muhammad says, I came to teach people how to smile, how to be good to each other, how to be merciful. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I came to teach people to be good to each other. To be kind to each other. This is my job. This is my job. To teach them to be honest with each other. This is the essence of Islam. Essence of Islam is not the prayers. The prayers that does not teach me or make me to be a good person is fruitless. Is nothing but waste of time. The fasting which we're going to observe soon, the first day is going to be most likely June 29th. If these 29 days or 30 days do not teach me to be more humble, more forgiving, kinder to people, then that fasting is waste of time, waste of time, waste of time. Fruitless. Fruitless. Now, do you know why Muslims are not going forward? Do you know? I was reading in the New York Times, just
maybe on Saturday, less than a week, 5 days ago. There was a survey, a study about the wave of illegal immigration to Europe. Where do those illegal immigrants, half of them, they drown in the Mediterranean. More than half of them, they drown. They don't reach the European shores. They put 20 countries, all these 20 countries that those immigrants, illegal immigrants, they come from are Muslim countries. And some of these governments, they say we are Islamic country ruler. We incorporate Sharia law. Beautiful Sharia law, which makes the citizen run away to Europe. They seek refuge in Europe. In the past, the non-Muslims, they used to come to Islam to seek refuge under the banner of Islam, under the mercy of Islam. Now it is exactly the opposite. Muslim countries export nothing but refugees. Refugees. Is this Islam? This tells you that there is no Islam. No Islam. Yes, you see, you hear the Adhan, maybe. You hear the voice of the Quran, but this voice of the Quran is only the voice. It's not in the market, in the marketplace. It's not between the neighbors. It's not between the husband and the wife. It's not. This is not Islam. Islam when we practice Islam. We practice what we learn. This is why God says, do not preach what you don't practice. It's not good. Islam, when I behave Islamically with my wife, Islamically, with my children, Islamically, with my neighbor, Islamically, with my friends, with my co-workers, with the people of the land, I behave with them Islamically. This is Islam. Islam is a behavior. Islam is a way of life in the marketplace, in the family, in the battlefield, in the farm, in the school, in the hospital, inside, outside. This is Islam. My friends, Islam is missing today from Muslim countries. This is exactly what Prophet Muhammad said. Muhammad said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سيعود الإسلام غريبا. One day you would wake up and you find Islam a stranger. Stranger has no place. You hear the name, but you don't see the Islamic behavior. Islam is going to be stranger one day. Lonely. Islam is going to be lonely. This is what we are seeing nowadays. So, فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. And to the Lord belongs the beautiful names. So call upon Him. Call upon Him means learn these names from Him. Learn these attributes from Him. If you want to get close to Him, learn some of these things. You know, our kids, when they love someone, a singer for instance, what do they do? The first thing they do, let's not mention their names. If they fall in love with this man or this lady who's a singer or a what they call him, the artist or something like that. You know what the first thing they do? The hairstyle. They emulate the same hairstyle. This is the first thing. Second, the earrings. If the earrings is in the nose or the ears or somewhere else, God knows, they do exactly the same. Third, the tattoos. If he's wearing tattoos, you will see the whole. Why they do this? Because they love him and they want to be like him, similar to him. We have to do the same with God. God does not have tattoos. God has mercy and love and compassion and respect and forgiveness. These are His qualities. Inshallah, the rest of the verse next Thursday. Mark your calendar, inshallah, for Saturday, June 14th. Saturday, June 14th, 6 p.m. We have the grand celebration of the birthday
of our 12 Imam, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Al-Sharif. And I invite the young leaders, those who are 16, 17, 18, 20, 25, 30, till 39 years old, to join us for our youth retreat, which is going to be from the 20th till the 22nd of this month. This is our annual youth retreat from the 20th until the 22nd of this month, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, inshallah ta'ala, in the mountains, not Mount, you know, Sinai or these things, no, closer, inshallah, here, Mount Los Angeles, north of Los Angeles, yeah. So try to register, go to the website, there is a form, fill it. If you are a father, if you want to give a gift of a graduation, for instance, for your young son, young daughter, invite them to come to these camps. They learn a lot. They learn, I promise you. In these 3 days, they learn more than what we learn within 1 year. Crash course. From 5 a.m. in the morning, they wake up. It's difficult for them. I know. Till midnight. Even when we go to the cabins, 2 a.m., Habib says 2 a.m. He knows himself. You know. They don't sleep. 3 nights, no sleep. Sleepless nights. So invite them to come. They will learn. They will learn knowledge. They will learn manners. And they will learn to be closer to God and good children of you and good citizens of God's kingdom. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat. Allahumma kulli waliyyika al hujjat ibn al hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi fi hadhihi as sa'ati wa fi kulli sa'ah waliyan wa hafiza wa qa'idan wa nasira ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.